always wondered about the Harry Potter series. I've been asked about it, and I've always answered that if he goes to school for wizards, that it's demonic power that is being discussed in this. And even white witchcraft in the Bible is not condoned.
You know, there's a lot of people that have said some things about Joan Rowling tonight that are really bad, and they're kind of doing it in God's name.
Using this as a literary tool is a satanic lie to bring these books into our homes. And any pastor who could condone any kind of witchcraft in anybody's home is absolutely misguided.
Just a sample of some of your thoughts on the Harry Potter series on this very program less than a year ago. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I was in an airport, several airports recently. I was amazed over that premiere weekend of the latest and last Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. How many people were reading the book? Of course, it was front and center of all the bookstores, and it's expected to sell like crazy. It's the last one. Now, we're going to be talking about the end of the Harry Potter series tonight on Issues Etc. If you do not want to know how the series ends, you probably won't want to stay tuned, because we'll be discussing the ending. It's rather significant. And we'll be talking about the possible Christian overtones of the Harry Potter series. That might surprise many, because Christians are wary. Some even consider the Harry Potter series completely off limits because, of course, it has to do with a young boy who goes to a school for wizards and witches. We'll talk about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows and the rest of the series tonight on Issues Etc. Now, unlike most of what you hear at night on the weekends, Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. We want to hear from you on the Harry Potter series. Our call-in number tonight, 1-800-730-2727. It's Sunday, July the 29th, 1-800-730-2727. No email tonight, only phone calls, so get ready to call, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest, and the reason we're having him on is because he's been writing a lot and thinking a lot about the Harry Potter series and its Christian overtones. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana, and he made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled The Theology of Harry Potter. Richard, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Can you understand why many Christians are wary of Harry Potter and the books, the films, and some even believe that they should be off limits for Christians?
Well, yes, I actually find it fairly easy to understand why a lot of Christians have been concerned about this. And frankly, I'm sympathetic to their concerns, and I believe they are sincere and well-intentioned. I think that in most cases, they have been misinformed or maybe are somewhat misguided. But, you know, I'm not going to fault people for trying to follow their conscience and to act with integrity. The fact of the matter is that the practice of real witchcraft in the world of God's creation is contrary to His will, contrary to His word. It is sinful. It's clearly forbidden by Scripture. And so anything that would seem to promote that kind of practice, that kind of witchcraft, the calling upon demonic beatings, the trying to exercise satanic power, clearly that's contrary to the second commandment, and no Christian ought to tolerate that. So, you know, for Christians who have gotten the idea or the impression that that's what's going on in the Harry Potter books, that in some way these books promote or encourage that kind of thing, then, yeah, I think, you know, it's not at all surprising that Christian parents would be concerned and even upset about the success and the popularity of the books. And I should also say that it's probably true. There probably have been individuals who, because of a fascination with the Harry Potter books, were led to dabble in things that they ought not to have dabbled in. But I think the blame for that cannot finally be laid at the feet of these books, but on a host of other factors as well. The reality is that our world, and any bookstore you go into, is full of books that do, in fact, teach and promote the practice of witchcraft in the real world, and to encourage people to turn away from the one true God and His Word to demonic forces and satanic temptations in various ways that are very subtle and tempting and enticing. And so Christians do have to be on their guard. But what I would like to suggest, as I did when we spoke almost a year ago, Todd, is that that's not what these books are about, and they don't really do that. And they can be read and enjoyed as good literature, And I think as something more than just good literature, in the same vein that C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien, wrote stories that were great literature, but also had a deeper significance as well.
Well, yes, less than a year ago, on this very program, you predicted how the Harry Potter series would end. Let's hear what you had to say.
I think that Harry has been prepared by the sacrifices that others have made on his behalf, beginning with his mother and father, and it was his mother's self-sacrifice that has protected Harry through the bond of blood that was marked by her self-sacrificing love for him, and that through each book, there have been other people sacrificing themselves for Harry, and I think this is part of his instruction, preparing him for the final battle in the last book. This is my prediction, in which I believe he's going to defeat Voldemort by sacrificing himself, and that his self-sacrifice is finally going to be what brings Voldemort down. And then I believe that in one way or another, we're going to know very clearly that Harry continues to live even after death. But this is my prediction, that Harry's going to win the day by his own self-sacrifice, and that he's going to live after death, and that's going to be the climax.
Well, did Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows end like you predicted it would, Dr. Stockway?
Well, you set me up. I hate to pat myself on the back, but, I mean, I nailed it. And the reason I nailed it is because when I got to the end of the sixth book, I finally realized, you know, what was going on. And, you know, I went back and looked at all of the books, and I could see it so clearly. So, in a sense, I mean, I credit J.K. Rowling for writing a brilliant story and for weaving into that story the basic pattern of cross and resurrection that is so familiar to Christians. And so I was very gratified to see the story come out exactly as I had predicted. I mean, some of the details, you know, I was glad to leave that up to the author because she's better at these things than I am. But basically, this is what it came down to. Harry won the day by voluntarily laying down his own life, sacrificing himself, and in his self-sacrifice, Voldemort is finally undone. And Harry has submitted himself to death, but comes back from death and continues to live. And so you have the cross and the resurrection, and it was really just exactly what I had expected. So,
with only a minute here, you mentioned this in passing, but please, should this ending for the Harry Potter series in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows in any way, for those who are familiar with the novels, come as any kind of big surprise? 1 minute.
Well, I suspect it has come as a surprise to many of the readers. I mean, you've got millions and millions of people around the world that have been reading these books, and I'm sure everybody's had their own predictions and their own expectations. But I know I was not alone in thinking that Harry was going to sacrifice himself. I did not hear, prior to the ending of the book, anybody else say it quite the way that I did. But I know that there were others, John Granger and various websites and things, that had essentially the same kind of basic idea in mind. So I don't think it was a surprise to everybody. It probably was a surprise to a lot of folks.
And does this decide in your mind the fact that what J.K. Rowling was up to in the Harry Potter series is in fact, if not explicitly Christian, at least strongly influenced by her Christian beliefs? 30 seconds.
Yes, I believe it is. Now, she's been kind of subtle and coy about this, but at various times when she's been pressed, you know, she's given a bit of this away. And I think it was back in 2000 that she basically said, if people knew I was a Christian, they'd already know how the story's going to end. And I think now in retrospect, you know, I think what she had was, what C.S. Lewis called a mere Christianity. I think she had some issues with the institutional church, but I think she is a Christian with faith in the cross and resurrection of Christ, and that she has deliberately woven that into this story as part of the way a Christian deals with death and faces death and copes with death. So, yes, I do think it was deliberate.
So what do you think about the Harry Potter series? I want to hear from you. Call us during this break. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, July the 29th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Is it appropriate for Christians to read the Harry Potter series? Have you changed your mind about the novels now that you know that it ends with self-sacrifice and, of a sort, a resurrection for Harry Potter? 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Richard Stockwish is our guest. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. He made a presentation at the Higher Things Youth Conference titled The Theology of Harry Potter. When we come back from this break, we're going to deal with some of the myths they've been touched upon here about J.K. Rowling and about the series. Many believe that it promotes witchcraft. Many have even said that J.K. Rowling is not, in fact, a Christian, but a practitioner of Wicca witchcraft herself, and that's what she was all up to. If so, then why end the book this way? With Harry Potter's death and return to life, his self-sacrifice and defeat of Voldemort through his own death, it does have a certain parallel to the cross and the resurrection, doesn't it? 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Issues, etc., regular guest, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
Three reasons come to mind. The first, Christ needs pastors for his church. This is the way God works. He chooses men to be under-shepherds, to guide and to feed his people. Second, the thought of being a pastor is a joyful thought. Intimidating, to be sure, but great joy is out there in front of you as you consider the possibility of studying for the ministry. Third, other respected Christians have looked you in the eye and said, I think you should study for the ministry. For these three reasons, you might consider studying for the holy ministry to be a pastor in Christ's church.
For more information, check out the logos for Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in his grace, in his undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of his Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues, Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We talked with Dr. Richard Stockwish tonight about the last of the Harry Potter novels and its theology. Speaking of children's books, our Issues, Etc. book of the month for July is titled The Real Story of Creation. It's written by Dr. Paul Meyer. The Real Story of Creation is $16.99 plus shipping and handling. And you can browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order The Real Story of Creation by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Real Story of Creation, our Issues, Etc. book of the month for July, by Dr. Paul Meyer. Okay, you alluded to this before, Dr. Stockwish. As far as you can tell, no one reads hearts, of course, but as far as you can tell, is J.K. Rowling, the author of this Harry Potter series, a Christian?
Well, yes, I believe that she is, partly because I think the basic Christian themes ultimately are so prominent throughout these books, both in terms of various Christological symbols, that is to say, commonly recognized symbols for our Lord Jesus Christ that pop up at various points throughout the books, and because of the underlying pattern that emerges finally most clearly in the end, that this voluntary self-sacrifice is what ultimately triumphs over evil, and that there is this life after death that emerges from that. So I think you see it there, but J.K. Rowling herself has said that she is a Christian. She's a member of the Church of Scotland, I think, the Presbyterian Church. And, you know, when you consider some of the other authors that were hugely influential in her life, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, I've mentioned, you know, I think she follows in their footsteps, not only in terms of her literary work, but also in her her basic Christian faith. Not that those two men were alike in every way, but I think there's a trajectory here and a tradition here that she's very much within. And she has said she's a Christian, and I see nothing in these books to contradict that. I don't mean to claim that she is doctrinally correct in every way. I don't believe that she is. And I do think there are some issues because of things she experienced with the institutional church that I deeply regret. But do I believe she has a faith in Christ as the one who died and rose again for her, that he is her Savior? Yes, I do believe that. I can't read her heart, like you say, but I think that is her confession, and I think it shows through in these books.
You mentioned J.R. Tolkien, his Ring trilogy, obviously famous there, and by the way, accepted by many Christians as great literature and of a Christian genre, in a sense. You mentioned The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. Where would you put the Harry Potter series on that spectrum between those two things, or where in proximity to those two things?
Well, different authors have different skills and talents, and each of these three people is different. I think Rowling has not been given the credit she deserves as an author, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. When the books first started becoming so popular, the image that was given of J.K. Rowling is that she was this kind of, you know, white trash lady with, you know, she's a single mom, and she's just sort of, you know, whipped this book off, and look, it's all become popular, which I think was very unfair, and it was kind of prejudicial anyway. I mean, what does any of that have to do with her talent and her skill? But the fact is, she's a very well-educated lady. She has a very strong background, and she knows her craft very well, her literary craft. She's a good writer. She knows history. She knows literature. And she has some real skills that she's put to work in writing this story. I think she deserves to be recognized as a great author. The genre that she's worked with is a little different than Tolkien. I think it's similar to The Chronicles of Narnia in many ways. She's a different author than Lewis, and I don't know that she's the profound philosophical/theological thinker that C.S. Lewis was. But I think she has, within her vocation as a writer, she has found a way to write a great story with compelling characters. She handles dialogue beautifully. The character development that one observes as you read through these books is simply amazing. You grow with the characters. You genuinely get to know them through experiencing the things they experience. And I think, you know, that's a mark of a great writer. And in the midst of all of that, she has also, I believe, captured one of the the principal themes and emphases of the Christian life, one of the things that's really at the heart of our faith, namely the self-sacrificing love of God in Christ and the way that his sacrifice has conquered death in order that we also may live. I think that's what you see there. So, you know, comparing authors is a tough thing, but I think these books deserve to become literary classics, and I believe that they will.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-730-2727, talking about Harry Potter, the final novel, with Dr. Richard Stuckwish tonight on Issues, Etc. No email tonight. Sorry, a little technical glitch there. So you have to use the phone, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. First to Minneapolis, where Janet listens on KKMS. Janet, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Sure. Hi there. I have a couple of comments. I have seen the first Harry Potter novel, or the movie, and I did that because I had two nephews who I thought might see it and get involved, and there was a lot of controversy about witchcraft, which the book is obviously about. And if we're talking about skill, she has a lot of skill. It was excellently written. It was very interesting, very high quality. There's no doubt about her skill as a writer or as the film and quality itself, but I took in a lot of information about what was happening around the film and around the book, and there was a phenomenal increase of children coming to the pagan websites to try to find more information about witchcraft and how to become a witch. So that book, whether she's Christian or not, is not the point. The book and the movie, where is it leading people? And it was very all along, in oftentimes leading people who are questioning and searching towards witchcraft. And if by the end of the book or the end of the movie, the main character dies and resurrects in a sacrificial way, that is a fine point. However, what if the kids stopped reading after the first one or the second one? but picked up the fact that they wanted to get involved with witchcraft or learn how to do these things or get into spiritual things. And my main point, the reason why I called, is that it doesn't really matter if Harry dies sacrificially for anyone or resurrects. All that points to then is that Harry died and he resurrected. It doesn't point to Jesus unless you're specifically telling a story about Jesus and how he died sacrificially. Now he rose from the dead to save us from our sins. Then you're not telling the story about Jesus and you're not going to lead anybody to Jesus. Hey, I think a Christian could pick that out as a cop and a type of Jesus. But if you're not a Christian, it's certainly not going to lead you on the path. And what if she really had the goal of telling a story in a non-Christian way, but leading people to Christ, she could have had a little chapter at the end to tell the story about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then I think that would be a real interesting way to lead people
to
Christ.
Janet, where are you getting the information on the children going to pagan websites?
Well, that was several years ago, so I cannot tell you the source, but it was on different news shows. It was on like TBN, or I can't say for sure.
All right, Janet, thanks for listening to Minneapolis. With only about a minute to respond here, or 30 seconds to begin a response to Janet's thoughts there.
Well, yeah, let me begin a response and hopefully continue. First of all, on that whole business with pagan websites, that sounds like a bigger problem to me with children using the Internet without supervision than it does with the Harry Potter books. I mean, I think parents have to exercise responsible oversight of their children, and I think the Internet in general can be potentially far more dangerous than any particular book. But I have also understood that a lot of that information, those so-called statistics about how many children were increasingly looking at these pagan websites, was actually propaganda on the part of pagan groups that were trying to capitalize on the popularity of the books. And I'm not sure that there was as much truth to that as there appeared to be, which is why I think the information is several years old and hasn't continued. So that would be one point. And I think Janet has raised some other points that I'd like to respond to when there's time.
We'll get to them on the other side of this break. Folks, we do have links to several articles written by our guest tonight, Dr. Richard Stuckwish, on the Harry Potter series under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. We continue to take your phone calls. On the other side of this break, 1-800-730-2727. We'll get to Dr. Stuckwish's complete response to Janet in Minneapolis after this. Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief on its support for military chaplains.
These chaplains end up being deployed for 13 months. And they come back to take their parish, and they have to go through a time of adjusting back to civilian life, back to their marriage and their family, and then back to the congregational setting. And World Relief and Human Care is utilizing our part of our Soldiers of the Cross Fund to explore ways that we can be of support to these pastors, to their wives and to their children, but also to their congregations in helping their reentry be as smooth and as helpful as possible.
Support the military chaplaincy by making a tax-deductible gift to LCMS World Relief. Earmark your donation for Soldiers of the Cross, 1-888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-Centered Cross Focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Changing over there. There's a storm coming, Harry. Just like last time.
You have been told that a certain dark wizard is at large. This is a lie.
It's not a lie. I saw it.
Harry Potter, you will lose everything.
There's a little bit of the trailer from the latest movie, the Harry Potter movie. We're talking about the last and the seventh book in the Harry Potter series that was recently released from J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. Richard Stuckwish is our guest. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. He made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled The Theology of Harry Potter. Folks, the premier conference on worship is taking place this fall at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's called the Good Shepherd Institute. Now, it's November the 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call them, area code 260-452-2244, 260-452-2244. Before we go on to the rest of the callers here, Dr. Stuckwish, a complete response to Janet's call from Minneapolis. Two other points that she made. First, she said, what happens if these kids or the adults reading the Harry Potter series stop before the last book? They don't get that clear picture of the sacrificial death and resurrection at the end.
Well, I mean, I think she makes a good point. Do I think that there are some, children or even adults that may have been had their curiosity piqued about witchcraft after reading the first book and then went off to pursue real-world witchcraft, which is demonic and contrary to God's word? Probably that did happen. But, again, I don't think the blame for that can really be laid at the feet of these books, simply because there are a lot of other factors involved, including parental responsibility. Frankly, I think the books have been engaging enough. Not a lot of people started reading and stopped. I mean, they've been gaining in popularity since the beginning. So I think most of the people have read through to the end of the series. And the fact of the matter is, looking back in retrospect, that this theme of self-sacrificing love has really been pervasive since the very first book. Now, I have to admit, as I did the last time we spoke, Todd, that I didn't really recognize that there was anything really more profound or significant going on until I got to the end of the sixth book. I just enjoyed reading the books to my children and enjoying them myself as good literature. But looking back then, I saw, there's this theme, there's this pattern right from the beginning. Now, I mean, she makes a good point. I'm not suggesting that any of the Harry Potter books are going to convert somebody to Christianity. This is not the gospel per se. I wouldn't recommend these as systematic theology textbooks. This doesn't take the place of God's word. It certainly doesn't take the place of the gospel. I think it can serve a helpful purpose. And I think part of what J.K. Rowling was maybe aiming at as she went along was similar to what C.S. Lewis ended up aiming at as he went along with the Chronicles of Narnia, was sort of plowing the soil, if you will, telling a great story that resonated with what some have called the great story, the story of Christ, not as though to convert the reader, but in a sense to prepare the reader, to pique the reader's interest not in witchcraft, not in real-world witchcraft, but in this idea of self-sacrificing love, which is compassionate and merciful and forgiving and willing to lay down one's life for others in the hope of the resurrection, because that really is what you see happening. I think that can be an amazingly powerful tool for Christians to use in engaging their neighbor in conversation, conversation that leads to the gospel, the only real gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ Jesus, who's not a fictional character, but the very Son of God, who did lay down his life upon the cross and rose again, not just as a great story, but as the story of salvation, which actually saves us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And I certainly want it to be very clear that nothing other than that gospel of Christ will save anyone. Talking to your neighbor about God in general, getting your neighbor to agree that the Bible is an important or even a true book, that doesn't save anybody either. That doesn't convert anybody. And yet it can be part of the process by which a person is brought to hear the gospel. Not everybody who reads these Harry Potter books is going to recognize the things that a Christian will recognize. I fully admit that. And nobody will be saved by the Harry Potter stories. But I think the Harry Potter stories serve in the same way that any Christian is able to confess their faith within their vocation in life. I think that's what J.K. Rowling has done in the midst of writing a great story, and I really commend her for it. And I've enjoyed these stories as stories, and I also enjoy the fact that they've given me the opportunity to talk to people about the real story of the gospel, which is Christ Jesus. Finally, I don't believe that Harry is supposed to be Jesus. For one thing, he's a fictional character. But my thought all along is not that Harry is sort of Christ in this story, but that Harry learns, especially from his father's, his father's example and his spiritual father's, if you will, he learns the pattern of Christ so that his life is shaped, catechized, if you will, in this pattern of self-sacrificing love. He learns to show mercy and compassion even toward his enemies. He learns forgiveness. And he does it by trial and error. He makes mistakes. Sometimes he really messes up. But he grows and he learns, and that's really what you see happening, so that his life is shaped in the pattern of the gospel, just as our lives are shaped that way in the real world by the law and the gospel, by returning to our baptism, by being called to repentance, and by being forgiven. That's how we learn. That's how we grow in the image of Christ, our head and our Savior.
Kelly listens on WYLL in Chicago and has been patiently waiting. Kelly, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm not going to say what denomination I belong to, but today at service, the speaker that came to speak at our church today asked the congregation to confess up, okay, who read the Harry Potter book? And at least about five or six people raised their hands, and she said, I still think, you know, she raised the Bible up, you know, on the pulpit, and she said, I still think this is the bestseller ever written in antiquity, the Word of God. I'm just amazed how many people, you know, with a curiosity would turn to something that they know is pagan or dealing with witchcraft, all those stories that are, you know, in the Word of God that tells us about, you know, even going in that direction. You know, Saul, you know, the woman with the spirit of divination, and, you know, other stories, bar Jesus. You know, I'm not sure why someone who professes to know Christ would go in that direction, especially like in Psalms where it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will walk around my house with a perfect heart. I'm too busy trying to keep my house sanctified from things that would come into my house that would displease God. And yet I hear people praising this woman, what a great writer she is, whether she is or not. I want to always be obedient to God, and if he says stay away from this direction, I'm going to, you know, refrain from going in that area. And you know, I just don't understand why anybody who would profess to know Christ would want to go in that direction, or even read their children, you know, anything, you know, that has anything to do with paganism or witchcraft.
Kelly, thanks for waiting on the line. Thanks for your comment, Dr. Stuckwish. Does this promote witchcraft?
Well, I mean, that's really the issue, and in my opinion, the clear answer is no. And this is why I think a lot of people, well-intentioned, sincere Christian people, have been misled. Now, look, nobody is required to buy these books and read them, so I'm not here to, you know, drum up business for J.K. Rowling. I think she's doing fine without any help from me. So if a Christian chooses not to read these books, you know, I'd be the last person to criticize them. But, and I also admire the intention and the effort for a person to live a life that is pleasing to God, although I would say that we're sanctified not by our efforts, but by the forgiveness that comes from the cross of Christ. And frankly, as hard as I try, I cannot measure up to the level of perfection that God's law requires. So I live in the freedom of the gospel, and I rejoice in that. But the fact of the matter is, these are fictional stories. They don't promote paganism. They don't teach witchcraft. A fundamental point, which a lot of people have missed, because I'll hear people talking about how, oh, you know, their children want to go to Hogwarts, the imaginary school in the books, so they can learn how to become witches and wizards. It doesn't work that way. It's very clear in the fictional universe that J.K. Rowling has created that you don't learn how to become a witch or wizard. You're either born a witch or a wizard, or you're not. And if you are a witch or a wizard, you go to Hogwarts not to learn how to become something other than what you are, but how to use responsibly the gifts that you have been given. And this is a very important difference. The book doesn't teach anybody how to become a witch or a wizard, even if one blurs the lines between fiction and reality. The books don't deal with that. If you're born this way, then you go to school in order to learn how to use these things responsibly and properly. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is, it is a fictional story. This doesn't translate into real life. If it did, that would be wrong, but it doesn't. The other thing is, the kind of magic that's at work in Harry Potter is not the occultic sort of pagan thing that a lot of people imagine it to be.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the break, because people probably don't realize that if they haven't read the books. Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, consider partnering with us by joining our monthly or annual donor program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. For more information on the benefits, like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts, just look for the photo of Martin Luther at our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can donate by credit card. Our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. 10 minutes left for your phone calls on Harry Potter, the final book and the series. 1-800-730-2727. No email tonight, only phone calls. 1-800-730-2727.
One of your favorite guests is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. Dr. Paul Meyer has written a new children's book titled The Real Story of Creation. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt on our website at issuesetc.org. The Real Story of Creation costs $16.99 plus shipping and handling. The Real Story of Creation, 1-800-325-3040.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your show spews nothing but hatred. Who died and left you guys in charge? God's going to deal with you for your much ignorance.
I really like your program. I listen to it every Sunday. Thank you for letting me listen to you guys.
Well, those are two very different responses from Issues, Etc. listeners. We want to hear your response, negative or positive, to any Issues, Etc. subject, past or present. Just call the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. It's brand new, and it's waiting for your comment. 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825. Love us, hate us, agree or disagree, it's all good. 314-505-7825. Leave your comments anonymously on the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Call today. Folks, you can help South Africa's rural poor and receive a new CD featuring jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie. It's called The Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group. You can get your CD by making a donation of $25 or more to LCMS World Relief. Find out more at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling 1-888-930-4438. Earmark a donation for the Temba Trust, 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief. Respond, if you would, to what Kelly's called before the break. You said that the nature of the magic depicted in the Harry Potter novels is not necessarily that which is condemned in Scripture.
Right. And before I continue with that thought, I also want to clarify, Kelly made a comment about the Word of God. I certainly would want it to be unequivocally stated that no book is equal to, much less superior to, the Holy Scriptures. So absolutely, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, that is the book above all others. And yet our Lord has not forbidden the writing of other books, and we do benefit from other books that are written across a variety of subjects. There's bad books written too, but I did want to clarify that. The thing of it is, in the real world of God's creation, in which we live by faith in Christ, people don't have magic. This isn't part of the way God created us. So when people talk about practicing witchcraft in the real world, when people talk about paganism and the occult, what they're talking about is mortal creatures trying to call upon other powers to come and do their bidding. And these are demonic powers that they try to control and bend to their will to achieve their purposes to their own destruction. And this is a bad thing. And Scripture repeatedly condemns that. God's law speaks against that. And clearly this ought not to be practiced. In the fictional world of the Harry Potter universe that J.K. Rowling has created as a work of art, as a sub-creation, as Tolkien talked about, she's created a fictional world. And in her fictional world, many people are born with magical abilities. This is part of the way they're created in that world. And so they have these abilities that are part of who they are. In our world, people are born with all sorts of abilities, athletic ability, math ability, good looks, charisma, all sorts of things, okay? And as they grow up, they have to learn how to use these things responsibly, and sometimes they make mistakes, and sometimes they use them poorly, and sometimes they use them well. Well, in the fictional universe of J.K. Rowling, people have magical abilities, and so they are trained to use those things responsibly. And some people use them poorly and badly and even for evil purposes, and some people use them for good purposes, and you have the same kind of thing. But you're dealing with a fictional creation. What you don't have happening in Harry Potter's world, even on the part of, you know, the baddest guy of all, Voldemort, is a calling upon demonic powers to come and do the bidder's will. It doesn't work that way. John Granger, in his book, has used the terms invocational and incantational magic, and he uses these terms to distinguish. Invocational magic is this effort to call upon other powers to come and do your bidding. Incantational magic is where a person uses words that sing along with the created order of things. Well, we don't have that in the real world of God's creation, but in the fictional world of J.K. Rowling's books, You do. And so the characters speak words that function the way they do within the order and laws that are established for this fictional universe, and that's how magic is done. It doesn't have a one-to-one equation with the real world we live in, because people aren't born with magic in the real world. It's made up. It's fiction. So, I mean, it's a fundamental difference. Just because it's called magic, just because words like witches and wizards are used, doesn't mean it equates to what happens in the real world. It doesn't. It's a different thing.
Sean's listening in Detroit on WDTK. Sean, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you. God bless you. I'm coming to the scripture in Exodus 22:18, which says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live," out of the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at that scripture, and I think about J.K. Rowling's book, and I can't say whether or not she's saved. I don't have that right. But she has publicly confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. So according to that, according to Romans 10:9-10, she's saved. But I take issue with the use of witchcraft, since we are to live our lives sanctified and not even learn these things. I know that it's a fantasy book. I know it's a fictional book. I used to read a lot of fantasy books myself, but once I learned about the Word of God and studying spiritual warfare, that is the main portion of my ministry after winning souls to the Lord, of course. But without understanding that deliverance, and the church needs deliverance, because we seem to accept anything and everything, even as the scripture says, by the fruit we shall know them.
All right, Stan, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Detroit. He mentions Exodus chapter 22, verse 18, "You shall not suffer a witch to live." Any application here to the Harry Potter novels in your mind, Pastor Stockwish? About a minute to respond.
Yeah, no, well, I certainly agree with the Word of God, but I don't think it applies in this case. The Word of God there, that law of God is speaking to the practice of witchcraft in the real world of God's creation, and that is forbidden. It is against the law. If somebody is engaged in that kind of practice, then they need to be called to repentance and hopefully receive the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. The witchcraft that is, I mean, the terminology is the same, but the witchcraft in the Harry Potter books is part of a fictional universe. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that every fantasy book or every piece of fiction is fine and good and dandy. I think there are things, you know, that ought to be avoided even there. I'm simply saying that this criticism, this critique, doesn't finally stand up, and that the Harry Potter books are presenting something other than the real-world witchcraft that is contrary to God's Word. It's two different things, and I don't know how else I can say that.
All right, then finally, with only a minute, how can we Christians use the Harry Potter series when dialoguing with unbelievers? 1 minute.
Well, the fundamental premise of the book is that self-sacrificing love, mercy, and compassion is finally more powerful than the self-serving lust for power, and that death is not the worst thing that can happen, that there is life after death. We as Christians can speak to how that is so. We have the hope of the gospel. We can use the massive popular interest in Harry Potter as an opportunity to confess the real gospel to people who have been intrigued and captivated by these books. These books have surprised a lot of people because the ending is very different than what people were expecting, a knockdown, drag-out duel, and what they got instead was a lamb led to the slaughter. How can he do that? He's surrounded by the great crowd of witnesses. He's supported by what he has learned from his fathers in the faith, if you will, and he goes to his death knowing that this is how death will be defeated, this is how Voldemort will be defeated. Well, all of that is fictional, but it provides a template, a pattern that Christians can use to talk about the Lamb of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who voluntarily went to the cross, who by his death destroyed death and atoned for sins and reconciled us to God the Father, and because he destroyed death, he did not remain in the grave but rose again, and causes his gospel to be preached to the ends of the world to forgive the sins of all of us who aren't the sanctified people we ought to be, but poor, miserable sinners, and yet for Jesus' sake we are forgiven and we are saved, and death doesn't get to have the last word. The last enemy to be defeated is death. Christ has done it. We share his victory by grace through faith in his gospel. And I praise him for that. And I think the Harry Potter books do provide Christians with an opportunity to speak that word to their neighbor. And if they do that, then I'm all the more thankful for them, along with the fact that they're great literature. They're a great read. It's a great story. J.K. Rowling is a gifted author, and I'm glad for that, too.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal, or you can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, 1-800-737-0172, or you can write us, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. I remember reading J.R.R. Tolkien's Ring Trilogy when I was in high school, coming to that part where Gandalf, deep in the minds of Moriah, sacrifices himself to a demonic creature, in a sense. He gives his life so that his compatriots might escape. And then, only chapters later, returns, alive. And I thought to myself, a death and a resurrection, a sacrificial giving of one's life for his friends, and then returning victorious from death, reminds me of Jesus. You read the end of that Harry Potter novel, it's going to remind you of Jesus too. But Harry Potter isn't Jesus, and Gandalf wasn't Jesus. The real gospel, the truth of the gospel, the true story that is not fiction, is even better. And yet, notice how often our fiction reflects the real story, the true, true story of Jesus Christ, who really did take our place in death, bearing our sins to save us from the greatest of enemies, all of us sinners, and rose again from the dead. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism. And I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how in his word and sacraments Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that is sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.